Thanks for tuning in to Good Vibrations with Kristen. Are you ready to be inspired?
Do you want to have a greater connection to the earth, each other, and ultimately yourself?
So then join in the conversation with me, Kristen Ace, and
me, Green Diva Meg,
and our fascinating guests to share the light, the laughter, and the illumination of good vibrations. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Good Vibrations with Kristen. I'm Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
That's Megan, my fabulous co-hostess.
Yay.
We are very thrilled to welcome back for part two, Samantha Jones. She is our writer, director, improv coach, extraordinarily gifted friend. So
positive
welcome back.
Thinker.
Yeah, woo-hoo. Big positive thinker. Thanks, Sam, for coming back.
Yay! Happy to be here.
All right. So we were in the midst of a conversation on staying connected to the light, thinking positive, being positive, even when the things around us
appear
to be negative. Yeah, I like that appear. And we should put that in quotes. I'll put my little, everyone knows right now that I've got quotes going on, even though you can't see me.
Making air quotes.
So, and we were talking about how, just because an experience seems negative,
right,
how it can have ultimately connected to this, that, and the next thing of your evolution as a soul, it can be a really amazing thing for you ultimately.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yeah. And that was the topic.
Okay. End of part two.
And now Megan and Sam are now meditating quietly in the corner.
Actually,
that's one thing.
So, with that, I want to read something to you guys that helps me stay really grounded. So I read this to myself and out loud to my higher self, to all that is, every single day of this year until I started the new Lotus and the Lily. And it is from Richard Bach's book called Illusions.
I love that series.
The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah.
I read that early on in my spiritual evolution.
And me
still
too.
Beautiful stuff.
And what happened is I had read, this book is actually cut in half because it's so old that it's falling apart. And when I did my mandala for this 2013, I came upon this book and I was guided that this passage that I'm going to read to you guys was something that I needed to add into my daily ritual for this year.
Cool.
So this is what it is. Okay. It says, it's a little story within the story. And it says, once there lived a village of creatures along the bottom of a great crystal river. The current of the river swept silently over them all, young and old, rich and poor, good and evil. The current going its own way, knowing its own crystal self. Each creature in its own manner clung tightly to the twigs and rocks of the river bottom, for clinging was their way of life, and resisting the current what each had learned from birth. But one creature said at last, "I am tired of clinging. Though I cannot see it with my eyes, I trust that the current knows where it is going. I shall let go and let it take me where it will. Clinging, I shall die of boredom." The other creatures laughed and said, "Fool, let go, and that current you worship will throw you tumbled and smashed across the rocks, and you will die quicker than boredom." But the one heeded them not, and taking a breath, did let go. Oh, and at once was tumbled and smashed by the current across the rocks. Yet in time, as the creature refused to cling again, the current lifted him free from the bottom, and he was bruised and hurt no more. And the creatures downstream, to whom he was a stranger, cried, "See a miracle! A creature like ourselves, yet he flies! See the Messiah! See the Messiah come to save us all!" And the one carried in the current said, "I am no more Messiah than you. The river delights to lift us free, if only we dare let go. Our true work is this voyage. this adventure.
Oh, yeah, I could see how daily reading of that would remind you.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Sam?
I thought that was incredible. You know, I love it. What holds to me at the end is that it's about the adventure.
Mm.
You know, because mm-hmm. I mean, you, Chris, you too, Kristen. I mean, it's like growing up, you're like, oh, I'm gonna be a star on Broadway. I'm gonna be this. I'm going to be, you know, we're going to say all these things we're going to be, but actually we are what we are to be. And the journey is what is to be. And, you know, don't wish it away.
Right.
You know, watch the rocks flow by and a couple clonky in the head. And that's part of the fun, you know?
Right. Well, and that's very powerful what you said. We are what we are going to be. We already are those things. Are we those things the way we imagine them? Not always, but they are, you know, that I think that it's really important. The most important part of this for me was the letting go and that we are all the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
that we all matter, that we are all stars or important aspects in this river of life.
Mm-hmm.
And for me in particular, that was, and I understand why my higher power, why all that is, guided me to read that every day, because so often I forget in my life that I might matter to other people other than my kids and my husband.
Yeah.
Yep.
That and by sometimes, see, I have found that sometimes it's not the big, glorious, like, I'm going to write the screenplay that changes the world or the book or do the radio show that matters. It's sometimes it's the most awkward, mundane act that somebody else observes and it helps them. And you don't even know. Like, I have one of those experiences where I was like a crying hot mess for like a solid year. And this woman had observed me at this one meeting where whatever. And, but what she observed was that I was honest and how do I say, I was true to myself,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't a victim. I was striving to get through a difficult time, mm-hmm. and she thanked me,
mm.
and I was like, what?
Right.
Like at the end of that year, I was like, you thanking me?
Right.
You know,
because you had
growth.
The courage to share how you were feeling and move through it.
Well, that was that was one of the starkest examples of how we don't know how what we may be doing will affect somebody else. But I was just being honest who I was in that moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that helps you remember that I'm here for a reason and I can focus on the good things in life because I matter. And I don't know how I'm going to matter in anyone's day as I move along. But if I fall into flipping off people and being in a hurry and getting out of my way and getting
you're clinging to your agenda.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Then how can I be of service to anyone on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
So
and also, again, how can you love yourself?
Right.
Because all you'll be is one big fat disappointment.
Right. Right. And I know we spoke of this in part one, but it is vitally important for us to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is we can only spill out what we are full of. But if we're not full of love for ourselves, what's spilling out?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
It's disappointment. It's
right.
It's, you know, and then you project that out onto other people. Well, that person did this to me and oh, well, I got over this. And we were talking earlier about friends who have the constant negativity. And for me now, I just bring them around to, you know, what did you put out in your day and how did you handle that? And
if you can,
I mean, sometimes you just got to wallow in your doo-doo for a while.
Yeah.
Too.
Sometimes
that's
there's
true.
Resistance.
And, you know, another thing that's struggling, I think, for me and for everybody is this concept of derailing yourself. Like if you're looking back at your life and you say, oh, you know, I should have never married that guy, or I should never have, you know, moved to Chicago.
Right.
Or, you know, you have this thing like you could have controlled it.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, that is really depressing. That whole concept that you somehow screwed up.
Right. Right. Well,
and it can stop people. It stops people all the time.
Oh, absolutely. It keeps you in a holding pattern of all the mistakes that you made.
Hey, listen, I've been married twice. And if I looked back and thought of them as mistakes, then what are my children that came from each of those marriages?
That's right.
And the learning experiences and the, you know, all of the relationships and things that have happened because of those marriages, whether they were meant to be forever or not.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I talk often about the choices I made with men when I was younger. And I always say that I had lots of examples of contrast to what I
don't want
to the man who I married and who is my soulmate. Lots of contrast to him.
Right.
And it was good because at the time, and my girlfriend Dawn and I laugh about this a lot, if I had met Jeff any earlier than I did, it would have never worked.
Yes. Yeah, because you probably would have looked at Jeff and been like, ah, he's not crazy enough.
That's right.
Yep.
I need someone who rides a motorcycle.
Oh, he did ride a motorcycle.
Oh, that's funny.
He did ride a motorcycle when I met him. But
I love it.
He was in the business world, and I was like, the business world?
Swear.
What is that? Like, you know, I have to write poetry, and we have to write songs, and, you know, we have to write movies and things. We have to be...
So, you know, part of what I'm hearing is our expectations get us in trouble.
Mm.
And for some reason, I guess, like, the expectation that you're going to be with someone forever right away is kind of, you know, challenging, even though you get married, obviously...
Hoping
but
for that.
If I'd met my husband, who's significantly older than me, you know, forget it. I mean, what, you know, it wouldn't have worked. It would have been like pedophilia or whatever, you know.
oh, my God.
But you know what I mean? Like, it is the way it was meant to be. We each had to go through what we had to go through to find each other.
Right.
And, you know, so... whatever I
exactly whatever exactly
but expectations are so huge in terms of staying
well
sane
that'll
and positive.
Drop you into the darkness faster than anything in the world,
right?
I expect blah 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 blah, blah or it should have been. When you said the word should, Sam, there's a woman I know, and she always says you don't should on yourself.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm like, oh my God, I've never heard that before, and I thought that was brilliant.
That's a great saying. That should be on a t-shirt.
It should be. Don't should on yourself. Everybody out there, hear that, okay? Because that is what drops us down into the low vibrations of feeling less than or that we don't matter or that we've made so many mistakes we can't get out of it. I mean, it's a dangerous place to go.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, the minute my mind starts, well, I should do, you know, if I'm contemplating doing something and I feel like I'm saying, I should do that. You know, like, that's a red flag, flag.
Absolutely.
Yep. I agree with that one. Yeah.
Well, Sam, you are, can I talk on the show about your recent?
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Of course.
Your recent love interest? So that's kind of a nice story. Can you share it with us?
Well,
share you already shared it with me, but can you share it with the hundreds of thousands of others?
Well, I think it's a great lesson in not regretting and in letting go and in floating down the river and not holding on. The timing of this is perfect. It was right in my life where I decided I'm giving up on men. I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to be an eccentric artist woman. I'll be a creative aunt to my niece. I'll, you know, I'll have fun stories and I'll dress in crazy clothes when I'm 80. You know, I had this whole like idea and I was
totally
like, that's fine. You know, I've had my share. And then out of nowhere, I'm contacted by this old friend of mine from college and she wants to start this artist collective in upstate New York. And she's married to an ex-boyfriend of mine from college. And they want me to run this whole artistic piece of it. And I'm like, well, that's interesting, you know, okay. So they come to New York to meet me for lunch. And then next thing I know, they're telling me they're getting divorced. But it's amicable. And I said, okay, well, great. I'm glad it's amicable. Goodbye. Next day, I email her some questions about this project. And she ends it by saying, you know, when Michael proposes to you in a year, I want you to marry him. And yeah, that's what she said in an email. And
God.
I mean, can you imagine? My head exploded, pounds of explosions. And And I'm the type of person where, you know, even if you're getting divorced, you know, if you're together, I'm not even going there in my
right.
head.
No, that's so, right. Me too.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm, so anyway, long story short, you know, she kind of set us both up. She was saying the same thing to both of us, but we didn't know the other person knew. And then we found out, and then that was it. We fell in love, and then they got divorced, and now we're together, and it's this person who's, that's it. He's my soulmate, and I know it, and that's that.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And that is a superior example of how the divine was working in your life. And
oh,
if that doesn't make you remember how extraordinary the light shines on us. Everybody needs to go back and listen to this. Anytime anybody gets sad ever again about relationships, you must go back to this podcast and listen to Sam's story.
Yeah.
That's the most beautiful story I've ever heard.
Yeah. And I mean, how out of my hands was that? And these were people I had not seen in 20 years.
Right.
Neither one of them.
Whoa.
You know, he and I broke up and that was it. They went off, they were together, they got married, they had kids, they did this whole thing. And now and then she handed him to me and said, you're meant to be together.
Whoa. So interestingly, that relationship, you know, it didn't last or whatever. And you
right.
know, it wasn't like so dramatic, but it just was a relationship that may have, quote unquote, now I'm doing air quotes, failed, you know,
yeah.
in the eyes of the world. And
right.
yet, you know, years later, it had its place and ta-da.
Yes, it's shocking. And I still love all the same things about him. And of course, listen, everyone, if you don't keep a journal, keep a journal. Because I ripped out my journals from college.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, my God. The stuff I was writing about him is exactly the same stuff I was writing now.
Oh, my God.
I mean, how weird is that?
Yeah.
You know, to know that that was right then, but not perfectly right. You know, not like we're going to do this now, right? But
it was not the right time.
The same stuff. Yeah.
And he had to do other things with this other person first.
Yep. And they had a great journey, and they're very healthy about the progression of their relationship out of marriage,
yeah.
which I think
See,
is amazing.
I think this does go back to keeping positive and how to stay positive in a relationship, staying positive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You said it, remembering. It's remembering the reason you fell in love. It's remembering when things are boring and difficult and challenging, and
right.
it's like, wow, this would be a lot easier if I didn't have to deal with that.
and
yeah.
believe me, that happens.
And it happens. If you can go back to, but there's such a strong bond, and I remember
right.
what that was like. When
right.
I have to focus on that sometimes. I mean, I've been with Wayne a long time now. It's like 18 years.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not always, you know, like it was in the beginning.
No.
But
right.
there's this Cahil Gibran, when you were reading, I remembered that there was this Cahil Gibran piece that I read.
And what is that?
Cahil Gibran is a prophet and poet also
oh.
from, he actually wrote a book called The Prophet,
oh.
where he fictionalizes prophet saying all these things to a crowd of people, and the book is just filled with things that you've heard. I know you've heard them at
mm-hmm.
weddings and whatever. They're just brilliant pieces
mm.
of, anyway, in this one piece, I picked it up in high school, and I didn't relate it to love. I just related it to being positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to look at it on my wall every morning when I woke up and say it out loud.
Oh, what was it?
Wake up at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving.
Oh. Ooh.
And I...
That's beautiful. I'm going to cry a little bit.
It's yeah, go
oh.
for it. Because it... And when I later read more of that piece and really studied it again and mm-hmm. understood the context, it's in this whole thing about how love, real love, is not easy. It's not, I mean, it talks about like your heart getting like on the thresher floor and getting all trashed and pain.
Ooh, yeah.
That real love is not easy.
It's not. No, it isn't easy.
But you wake up and dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving.
Yeah.
And that's the remembering. So, you know, I just
right.
used it to survive my teenage years, but in later life, I really understood the depth of that whole passage about love, which I would recommend anybody who's in a relationship that appears to be, you know, either beautiful or challenging or both, and they can't
mm-hmm.
understand it. Like, love is not always like,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know what? Neither is any relationship that we have with our children or our you know, family of origin, you know, and having that, you know, knowing that love is love of everything. It's that yeah. unconditional love that we're looking for.
Well, and there's that, we go back to that word expectation. I know for myself, unconditional love, I guess I thought, you know, for me to be this, you know, spiritual, holy, loving person, I would be like a yogi, and I'm really so not like a yogi. I'm very powerful and loud and, and forceful. And I thought for a long time, like, well, maybe that's not the right kind of, maybe I'm not giving my kids the right kind of love, because I'd be like, look, you know, this is, you're creating your own universe, and let's talk about this, and you've got to go out and the birds are singing, and you need to hear this, and you need to, you know, and I'm like, you know, what? My expectations of the kind of person who is unconditional loving or spiritual is vastly different than who I am. And I thought for a long time that maybe I wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, it's our unconditional love is, my unconditional love is going to look different than yours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? And then the concept also that your kids choose you, which I believe that babies choose their parents.
Oh, yes. Yes.
When they come to the world.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know, meeting your kids, Kristen, I mean, they 100% chose you guys. And it's,
well,
you know,
you
could say anything crazy and woo-woo and let's dance with the birds to your kids. And they're like, yeah, yeah, that's normal.
I know. They're so great. They're so great. I'm like, come on out. You've got to see. This
right,
is happening.
Of course you can levitate. Of course you can do this.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, my kids are older now, and yeah. I did all that stuff, and they used to roll their eyes. But, you know, they'd go along with it. You know, when they were little, they went along with it. When they were teenagers, like, okay, Mom, that's enough. But now that they're young women, you know, they like eating this stuff up. And every once in a while, I you know, my one daughter will write me this beautiful thing that she discovered or something, you know. And I'm like, oh, cool. They are paying attention.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, yeah. They are. Actually, I think children pay attention a lot more than they are given credit to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm telling you that's true.
Yeah.
So. Little sponges, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, think about the kind of sponges we were.
Oh. You know,
what did we pick up? I picked up a lot. And I have to say, I picked up a lot of negativity, and I brought it with me for a long time.
Oh, me too.
You know, this that was my life. That was my journey at that time. And and I don't feel sad about any of it anymore, because I think if one tiny thing had ever changed, maybe I wouldn't have met Jeff. Maybe I wouldn't be, maybe I wouldn't have met you two. Maybe I wouldn't be doing this show right now. Maybe I would have never written the two, you know, whatever.
Yeah, what would you give up if you, that's the thing. You're like, well, okay, so.
If you don't have, you can't, and that's why, again, it's that every piece of your life is part of this incredible puzzle, and that puzzle is divinity. It really is.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, the pain and negativity often for me comes when I resist, you know, when I'm swimming upstream rather than going with the flow.
Right.
When tiring.
You're, when you're really battling those rocks.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah. And I think too, Kristen, like you talking about like how you're being raised and what you picked up growing up, it's like, if you're going to be a person who's shouting from the rooftops as an adult, then you have to be in a family where that opportunity happens, where you have to keep, like when you were young, Kristen, you had to say to people, no, this is what it is, and da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
I'm going to be this, and I'm going to Chicago. And, like, that's what your show is about, this, like, journey of yours. And it's like, if you had some family that was, like, cool with everything.
Oh, yeah.
What do you have to fight for?
Right. I wouldn't go anywhere.
You'd be like, oh, I'm fine. I'll work at Walmart. Just leave it, you know.
I'll stay here at home, be with my parents,
who
love me so much that they never want me to leave. And,
right.
And of course, they were like, get out.
You know. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I am grateful every day for that. And it took me a long time to find the gratitude for my blood family. But I think if they had loved me in the way that I felt I really needed it, I would have never left.
Yeah.
Never.
I think you're right.
You know.
Because you learned a lot. And I think you were. I mean, I think you did have a lot to learn in life.
Yes.
So when we're young and we feel vulnerable, we want to stay home. We want to stay safe. But for you, you wanted to just express yourself.
wanted to get out.
Right. Awesome. Get out and get loud. And that's what you did.
Yes. No, that's right. Megan's doing a little express yourself dance right now.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
But that's that piece of the remembering that everything leads to everything, leads to everything, leads to everything.
Yep.
And to take any little piece of that
even
away.
Even those moments of darkness have purpose.
Like that's right.
An old spiritual teacher of mine, Jean Brookwell, who you may remember, speaking to Kristen. Anyway, she used to say that depression was usually it was deep processing. That sometimes you just needed to curl up with Haagen-Dazs ice cream.
Right.
And pull the covers over your head and watch TV for 6 hours. Right. And not deal with the world. And, there was a limited exposure to it, but that there was a purpose in that.
That's
and
right.
That we sometimes just need that time out to indulge in those things. And then, of course, we need people
to
pull us out.
900 episodes of some junk television show just to.
I go through, every once in a while, I go through a True Blood or something.
True Blood. Oh, yeah.
Have a little binge of True Blood or Rescue Me.
Oh. Yeah, and listen, I'm telling you that TV is one of the only ways that I can shut down for a little while.
Yeah.
I mean, even meditation, because meditation is, for me, it's very rejuvenating, but it's not always, I gotta
not relaxing.
Sometimes I just gotta shut it all down and watch some fantasy thing.
Oh, I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or I'll watch some reality show about a family, which I love. Like I'll watch Sister Wives, which everybody's how do you watch that show?
I love Big Love. That was similar.
I mean, it's just watching someone else's family.
Right, right.
Watching someone else's train wreck,
Exactly. And that show is actually a very, loving kind of show. My daughter's getting married. We're
Sister Wives is
a
plural family, plural marriage family.
Yes.
Mormon.
Yeah, he has, all these wives, and everybody around them is that's terrible. But actually, for them, it works.
Right.
It's okay. Well,
no, I'm telling
them.
You, Big Love was such a great, and it was almost like you're always watching this train wreck, this thing's about to explode, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit jealous that these people were able to sort this out, because Lord knows I could use a couple wives around here. You know what I mean?
I love it. That's
very funny.
We had a discussion recently with somebody, and Joni, who I adore, and she's right in many ways, that some of the negativity in our world comes through TV shows and the violence and the negativity. Please don't take True Blood away from me. Don't tell me I can't watch these things, because I don't think I take them to heart. I think they're entertainment, and they make me happy to watch Eric Sarsgaard naked or whatever.
Oh,
you know.
Yummy, yummy. My perspective on that is that we are working things out, society, humanity-wise, through entertainment. It's being brought into the light in a very safe...
I hope so.
In a very safe medium.
Yep.
So...
Right, and you can shut it off if you hate it.
That's right.
If it's making you sick in some way, I don't believe these things are harming me. Maybe I'm in denial, but
you're fine.
You're really a vampire. That's
well, you better not be.
No, you're a teenage vampire.
Yeah, that would be entertaining.
Our teenage vampire comment, we are at the end of another fabulous segment of Good Vibrations with Kristen and our wonderful, wonderful guest, Samantha Jones.
Yay.
Please go to my blog and you will find all the information you need to find out more about Sam. If you want to take one of her improv classes, if you are writing a solo show and you want some guidance, if you're writing a movie and you want some guidance.
Actually, I have all those things. Definitely.
Yeah. So I will make sure that you can reach Samantha. And Samantha, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding? It's like a slumber party.
Seriously, we could tear it up, man. Put us in front of TV with a little bit of Haagen-Dazs. Wow.
Right.
Or tea. I don't know.
So we're going to say goodbye to you, Sam. And I hope you come back.
Oh, I'd love to.
And you will be hearing from me. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
Okay.
Bye, Sam.
Bye. And everybody, thank you so much for joining us at Good Vibrations with Kristen. Please look for us on Facebook. Look for us on LinkedIn. Look for us on MorristownGreen.com, on Stitcher, and on iTunes.
Oh, boy.
I know. So have a great day.
Bye-bye.
I love you. We hope that you found this episode of GVK inspiring. And to raise your vibration even higher, visit my website at goodvibrationswithkristen.com.
And don't forget to like Good Vibrations with Kristen on Facebook.
What inspires you?
Write us, let us know, so we can share your ideas on the show.
And meanwhile, keep listening, keep connecting, and know that you are divinely guided.